Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ and Life's Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, we'll pray with you. If you're having a question about the lesson, we'll do our best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have a comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your comments, your questions over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, it's Monday night here, 7 p.m. You know what that means. The angel messenger speaks today. It's our brother Eddie Lee, here sitting off. And as we wait for our brother to come on, once again, I want to just thank the Lord Jesus for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. May the Lord continue to bless you, your families, and your loved ones. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord said his sheep know his voice. His sheep know his voice. Amen. And the number one way his sheep gets to know his voice is by getting to know him. Amen. The word of the Lord said there are many false delusions that have gone out. But again, he say, his sheep know his voice. Hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord. The midnight cry in these last days. The Lord's sheep know his voice. The Lord's sheep takes the time to get to know him. The Lord's sheep doesn't have too busy of a schedule that they can't spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ to get to know him. And the warning is that there are many false delusions, people, that have gone out. They have gone out. And the enemy has been stamping, quote, or using man to stamp the name of God on it. So they'll tell you, I'm coming in the name of the Lord, okay? Beware. Because the only way we're going to be able to detect the truth from the false is going to be through our relationship. Now, I ain't talking about the part of the relationship where we became kin to God, but we became children. That's a relationship, but I'm talking about the other part where you get to know him, okay? This is why he said his sheep know his voice, amen? Because his sheep is the ones that's going to take the time to get to know him. So beware, be warned, beloved. Many false delusions have gone out. But again, the Lord say his sheep know his voice. God bless you, brother.
Hello, sir. Greetings. Peace.
God bless.
Another day the Lord has granted us. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. We salute everyone, everyone in every nation, every place, far and wide, near, and the door is open for us at the greatest opportunity to fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave before he left. The early apostles did their part, but they did not complete to reach the whole world. But our commission in the end time is to reach every nation on the earth. Be to God who has always planned for us to have the victory. And he's planned no defeats. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, how is the weather that way today? Kind of got a little warmer for you, brother.
Yeah, and thank the Lord, we appreciated it. Actually, the 30s started to feel warm. That's how cold we was.
30, my goodness, awful black. I don't know, putting on a little sweater or something.
Well, yeah, we know that that definitely would be you guys' description from up north. But to us, 30s is real cold. But since we've been having that 9 degree, 30s start to feel like 60. So we're grateful for that.
Yeah, I understand that. But I remember years ago when I worked for Railway Express, which was at that time was a primary shipping, like before FedEx and became popular in United Christ. That was a Railway Express, and I worked for them, and they were situated right off of the river and had to unload trucks and trains. And it was kind of cold in the wintertime, and I had to go to the military store and get me some what they call flight boots, boots that the pilots wear. And that's the way I always if I had to get them flight boots. And I kind of survived. But I the people that worked at this Railway Express, the fellows that were, you know, who had worked there for a while, and I couldn't understand how they was always looking like they were warm. So it didn't seem to bother them. So I said, goodness gracious. But I found out what their secret was. I kept knowing, you know, as we unloading these trucks right off and trains, cars, and they didn't seem to be it at all by this freezing weather, and we was right on the river. And I kept noticing they kept running in the washroom every, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes. And I didn't know why they, well, I thought they were just going in there, you know, to warm up or something. Every 20 minutes they'd be running. I see the guys running in the washroom. So I said, let me investigate this. And I went in there, and I see why they were so warm. They were drinking that wine, brother. It was good. No wonder they were so warm. Man, they would get that wine, and they'd take a swat of wine. They'd come back, look like they were ready to pull off their clothes or whatever. But they also mean that even though I was not a Christian, a follower of Christ at that time, I knew better from my mother's training, my father's training, not to get hooked on that alcohol and that wine. So when they offered me wine, to, you know, some wine to get warmed up, I said, no thanks. No thanks. I think I'll make it. Even though I was about, 18, 19 years old, I said, no, that's okay. But they were warm, boy. They were the survivors. They were drinking that wine, everything they can. So people do what they're doing today, what they call to survive. They're doing a lot of things that are not to their best interest or their future, so things what they call survive. And so people today in many nations are doing in these places and cities, pressed to the wall, and they're saying, whatever it takes, someone's going to survive. If they have to knock 10 people in the head or sell drugs on the corner or whatever they have to do, they're going to, what they call, I'm going to survive. That's what the many people will find themselves in.
Amen.
So, for instance, I try to encourage the young people everywhere to get at a development of the ability that God has given every person on earth. He has given a natural gift or ability in something to do more than survive, but be a person that develops their ability to not only become a full-fledged citizen and take care of themselves and their families, but benefit mankind. And so I encourage people in the act, you know, the kids that want to drop out, don't want to go to school. I said, By doing so, you make yourself a prey to the devil, because then you have to subvert to certain things that are corrupt, evil, and criminal to survive. But if you go on and get your education and advance, develop your life, subvert to that evil. But whatever it takes, grow or more, survive. And that is, and that includes the people at the bottom of the hole and those all the way to the White House. Those people have millions, but millions is not enough. And they're still trying to get quadrillions and billions. And no matter how much they achieve in that world, it's not enough. And so they'll do whatever it takes, continue with greed and corruption and criminal behavior. When you hear these people say, I'm a billionaire, it's not always by honest work or hard work. It's by other means also. So the Lord God has got a better way and a better plan. In the Bible, there were many, many millionaires, what we call today, and prosperous people. And they prospered by the hand of the living God. And was not through any violation or corruption or destruction of people or a nation. The Lord had made, the Lord Jehovah had given Israel a prosperity plan, a blessed plan, and the blessed plan for mankind without any corruption or greed. But now today, people said the Lord would want us to be blessed in every area and want us to prosper in every area of our lives. But mostly the spiritual part of our life is the most important. The most important thing that God wants us in our personal revelation, being reconciled to God. So people are, have to, if they can, you know, the scripture says that money, the love of money, the love of money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Wow. But what won't people do to get it? So I want to read something here that God's going to prosper his people in every way to the honorable way. And the scripture says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow with it. That's Proverbs 10. So, ever you get money or wealth from any other source, then hard work and honesty toil are from the gift of our Lord. It's going to bring you great sorrow. And you're going to reap sorrow and grief with it. Some people say, well, I got it, I got it, I made it. Yeah, but how did you make it? And what do it mean to you? Is it that wealth, that money, your life and your ultimate goal? And your ultimate goal is not money. It should not be. All right then, brother. Another day the Lord has given us. I want to read something today about a visitation from this messenger in our generation. And he is the promised Elijah, Elias messenger. Now, I'm going to read a portion of this. He has led them here. This angel messenger, the Elias promise, vivid our brother Dre, W.A. Dre, described an apostle in his word, and he gave this message. And the angel of the Lord appeared before me at 11:45, August 21st, 1939. The room was light, and the influence of the divine was evident. His presence made me very weak in body. He bade me to arise and take the message he would give. He wore a white robe that left bare his ankles and his arms a little above his wrists. His collar was open so I could see into his bosom. His robe was well made, and he had a sandal of an ancient style. He was with me 2 hours and 45 minutes. He left at 2:30 a.m., August 2nd, 1939. Now, I'm not going to read the entire message, but I'm going to read part of it, what he says. I start out with the very first verse this messenger left. for all of mankind and all of Israel, all of the church world, and all sinners and otherwise. He says, I have come to you from time to time. And the Lord your God has designed to direct in this work that he set up in fullness. So have I been commanded of the Lord, come from the presence of the Lord God. Words I speak are his words. They have their place among those that shall be the Lord's bride and redeemed. For the Lord God has turned to his little one that he might bring about his wise purpose. His kingdom shall roll forth until it fill the whole earth. Shall be Zion is redeemed, and the millennium shall break forth with gladness. Yea, hearken unto him that is the Lord your God. Ye of my servants, whom I have called and chosen, was yet chosen. Hear ye my words, and obey. And shall find peace to your soul. Take the message to the children of men. Be not doubtful, not soulful, for much must be done in this work as the design of the Lord. I'm going to read this because it's really long, but I'm going to read parts of it. 6. This is a day when Satan has great power, and men's hearts will be tried. Some will fail because of the things they will have to go pass through. Others will be true. Many have been true, but yet will be true. The cleansing time has come. God will cleanse the hearts of men by the power of his Spirit. The conditions that will come, and many will try, and the Lord's purging will take place. Oh, there is a cry of peace. There is no peace save in the hearts of them that do the Lord's bidding. Know that he, his voice, nations are in distress and kingdoms are crumbling. Fear not, for the Lord shall proceed to do a marvelous work. And powers of evil shall lose in the end. Study the word I bring. Teach them. Study the full word of God. You shall know the truth. Follow the instruction I bring. It will be well with you, as I say to all. I'm really fortunate. This task, the Lord has chosen men in all ages to do his work among the children of men. Many have been faithful, have failed. Let it not be so with you. Be servants of the Lord called and choose in these days. Be faithful that you may be among those and be with him when he comes, and be called, chosen, and faithful. Okay, it's a lot of that 44th message, and those that want to hear more about last prophetic call and warning, they're welcome to call in, write in, or whatever they choose to do. Hey, so is the sisters around, or are they having the aftermath at the Christmas and trying to get rid of some of that food?
Well, they're not on yet.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you think about Alleluia? Lord, we pray and we believe as you have said, as we prepare for your coming, Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That we are to declare the last cry, the midnight cry, to all people in all nations.
Yes, Lord.
And the warning message that Elijah brings from your presence. To prepare a bride and a people and wake the nations. And that nations will know the time of their trumps and failing. That the kingdom of God and our Christ is at hand. Today we pray an attitude to release the unveiling and convincing of their hearts that this is the day of repentance and faith, to turn their attentions upon the Lamb of God, that they may find hope and deliverance and victory, because Satan has great power and doing all that he can to destroy, deceive all flesh. Lord, awaken the people, the bride of Christ, to have dominion and rule and cast down the wicked one, and then millions and millions will look for a better way, an assured way in Christ. Amen. All right.
We want to welcome on Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. Thank God for you. God bless you.
Okay, dear sister. Say hello to the husband, man, and to all of the children and grandchildren.
Amen.
And the great grandchildren and the greater one. And it just keeps going on. That Christmas time is long. And, you know, in the days of the Old Testament, in Israel, not only Israel, but even among the pagan and heathen nations, but in Israel, there was a rule that given from the day of the creation, that the Lord God, you notice that he did, you know, you go back to the foundation of all things, the creation of the first two people. Have you wondered why, when he made Adam, the man, and he bring forth the woman out of his side, from the rib of his side, and he only gave him one wife? I wonder, did he have a plan in mind? what, Brother Nate, why he didn't create two or three more wives for him?
No.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that wasn't his, oh, well, I wonder why he didn't give the woman three or four husbands.
Oh, no.
When is plan?
What'd you say, Sister Anne?
The plan was one. He only gave Adam one. That was the plan.
No, we're trying to talk about the human. Let's look at it from the human side, the man side. Let's not try to cloud it. How would that work out for a woman to have two or three husbands?
It would.
No, you don't see that. It's the man with two, three, four, five wives.
Okay, Brother Nate, what were you saying?
They actually got one. It's called polyandry. But it's practiced more over in the East. One woman is married to two or three men. She has two or three husbands. I found out about that about, I think, 2 years ago, because I was wondering was, you know, something like that ever practiced. But no, it ain't gonna work out. I mean, no matter who do it, but it ain't gonna work out.
Okay, well, you know, since primarily among mankind, that it's probably normal in many nations to have more than one wife. So,
right.
And it seemed that Solomon in Israel, God's people, that Solomon had even, 700 wives and 300 not legal concubines.
Mm-hmm.
And that even the prophets and Moses had, I think he had a couple wives himself, and Abraham had several and four, and David had his, I don't know, 17 or how many. And it was not a practice. Now, the heathens were known to do things like that. That means the non-covenant people of Israel, among the nations, they had, you know, many different practices that were far off from the creative act of God. And I was just wondering, was there people that normally it was among practice, a man could have as many wives as he could support. And you go among many of the, not only the African nations and other Europeans and Caribbean nations, they had all kind of stuff too. So I'm saying since it was a normal thing for a man to have 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 or in the tribe or whatever area, what about the woman? So you tell me that a woman could have 4 or 5 husbands and go to a I'm just wondering how that how would work out.
Yeah.
It would. It wouldn't at all, brother. That wouldn't work at all.
It wouldn't work at all. Oh, okay.
So that wouldn't work at all.
Oh, okay. You know, when you take the gospel to the different nations of the world, you're going to run into many, what you call, practices that were not ordered by the living God. And they don't know the living God and the Bible, the ways that he gave Israel and his laws concerning marriage and family. And so you're going to run into many nations. So what is your answer to this? When you come to a nation and this people and this man or this king of people, and they have 5 wives, and they become a converted to Christ and to him, what is your solution for those 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 wives he has since he's now a newborn Christian?
Well,
you're gonna have to, if they are new in Christ, and you're gonna have to go in the Word and tell them that that is not God's, word, and the way God's word is, and you're gonna have to let them know that, you know, that that is not permitted. If they are coming honestly from the depths of their heart to give their life to the Lord, then they're going to have to get out of that. It's just
okay.
Like these different organizations. I said it's just like these different organizations now that believe in, 3 or 4 wives, and they believe in marrying within the family circle, I would say. And a lot of them now are learning, and they're getting out of that.
Okay. So what bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, to these nations of the earth, and they have their own practices for centuries, and they worship probably their own tribal gods or whatever gods they worship, and it's permissible for them to have 10 wives. So this, you come to this converted king or principal or the head or whatever, and he's now converted as a redeemed believer in Christ under the gospel. And now he has 10 wives, and he has about 20 children. So what kind of just and righteous platform are you going to deal with this situation? He has 10 wives, and he got 20 children. So what do you think, Brother Nate? You got a gospel answer there, a solution or something?
Primarily, mostly of what Sister Anderson said. To me, you have to present once they come to Christ. You can't dodge the truth. You got to show them God's commission for men as far as marriage, and that is one. You can't. I mean, we having this problem among the Christian community today. It is a lot of compromising going on, and you have to show them, okay, God's commission for man is to have a wife. Now, them kids, that's your children, but you is to have one wife. Okay, so, you know, hey, I have to come with the word of God straight between the and to
so
show you in the word.
So what you going to do with the 9 wives you got, and you got 10 children by them? How that going to go?
Well, he can't have the 9 wives. He only can have one. It's okay. He can't have the 9,
yeah,
other 9 wives.
I'm talking about the children, though.
Yeah, but he's still going to have to care for those those children. They was born, basically, if you got 9 wives, those children are born out of wedlock, most of them anyway. But
they weren't born in wedlock, not according to their culture. You see, when you go into another culture, another nation, their laws and culture are different from the Western or from the biblical. So the gospel of Christ comes to give them the better way that God has originally designed. They never heard of it. And so when you come into these different nations, you're going to find a lot of cultures that are part of their lives. And that's contrary.
And for those children. That husband can drop all those wives and keep one, but he still is responsible for those 20 children.
Okay. So he can't just say bye-bye. He's still responsible for the lives of those children to take care of them, right? And to father them.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
He fathers them. Yes, he's responsible for them. Yes.
So the other nine wives, they had to go and find, and if they want to get another husband, because then no longer can be a part of the new covenant of that man's response to the gospel. So he has to take care of those women and their children until they're able to find another course. He can't drop these women out there with no food, no substance, no take care of. But they're not allowed to have any intimate relationships separate. Still responsible for the welfare of those other nine women until they're capable of finding another husband.
Yep, responsibility.
See, God is not unjust. God is not unrighteous. Even though he no longer can have any relationship with the other nine, he can only have one. He can pick out one. Well, which one he's going to pick out of this 10? You know, it's going to be his one single wife. That's going to might be a problem. Well, he loves all of them. My favorite, so I got to pick one, and the other I have to let go and no longer be a part of marriage and the family way. But I am responsible to look out for them until. So.
Amen.
You know, so anyway, now let's go back to this. You know, as you search the history, whenever we go the gospel, even in Jesus' day or even in this day, when you go to many of these nations, have many practices from their heritage and their culture, which may be considered pagan or heathen according to our view. They don't consider themselves a pagan, but of course from our standard of the Bible rule, you may consider them, as Israel did, the nation called them heathen and idol worshippers. But now, do you notice that in many cases, they didn't find much, but they found some. They didn't find much of this among the other nations, what was called homosexuality.
Okay.
Now, you found it. Let's look through the history. Most of the homosexual thing came from some of the Gentile nation or the European nations.
Okay.
The Africans on the upper parts of Asia, they didn't practice so much this homosexual stuff. You didn't find that homosexual curse or demon among them. But here, when we come to Europe, the European Anglo-Saxon, and now this Gentile world or the Anglo-Saxon world, they seem to be flourishing in that evil.
Sure enough.
The Roman Empire and all those other nations, they seem to flourish in that. I wonder why.
Man.
Do you understand other what we call the, quote, African nations, why they despise and reject the homosexual relationship? When Mr. Obama was in president, he went over to Africa to persuade those people to accept the homosexual agenda. And you know what that president told Mr. Obama?
Come up.
You talking about beside? Get away from here. You talking about beside?
Yeah.
Get away from here.
Yeah, you better go back where you come from and get up. We'll run our own nation, and we're not going to adhere to this stuff you tell me to accept the homosexual relation. And they told Mr. Obama, you better get back to America. Go back where you come from.
Wow. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, hallelujah, you will find in certain nations of the earth, even though they may be tribal, idolatry, that certain demons and curses are primary among certain nations, and you'll find certain practices that are different as you go. For instance, Russia, the Russian people, they don't want to tell you a lot about their background, but they want to tell you about a lot about the Africans and try to make them look old. You know, my name is Brother Lee. You know, I'm a history buff. I like to go down and look out stuff because they hide so much stuff from us. I had to go and look the stuff up. I do some digging about history. The history affects your future and the history of your children. And I try to find out the primary background of the root of all nations. Now, in the historical contribution that they make to the world. So, for instance, when the primary of this devil, a curse, came among this people in the 1830s, a people who were called Mormons, and a revelation so-called from the demon god, the same demon god that had been among the nations and years ago, came among them and revealed to them that they could have all these different wives. Now, this is in our pre-civilization, our modern civilization, that these many wives, I don't know, Joseph Smith was said to have about how many wives, 100 wives, different wives, or 717 or 200?
The numbers are steady growing, brother.
Huh?
The numbers are steady growing.
Now, this is where you make people mad and angry. Among the most of the people who refer to in the certain parts of the Middle East and Far East or Africans, they did not have this kind of practice among them.
Okay.
And they practice all these having wives in their day, but in Solomon's day, in the day that God destroyed the earth in Noah's generation, there were certain demons that were on the earth teaching men the wicked ways of their fallen estate. The things that the Lord God says, the last straw, which is called the last straw. And he made this statement. The Lord God came and looked that the wickedness of man was great. Now, what was the thing that was the last straw to God? He said, I must destroy, at least the whole earth be contaminated. Uh-huh. And I found one man and his family.
Yeah, that homosexuality.
Well, it goes a little further than that. There's another part to that that goes beyond that.
Yeah, bestiality.
It's a little more than that of itself. But this was the last straw. When the Lord God Elohim says, I see that the wickedness of man is so great that it cannot remain because it will contaminate, destroy all flesh with this evil. Now, you see what's going on in America, how the devil is using the same game upon all nations, but primarily wants America, just like he wanted Israel, who was a light to the nation. America was the light to the nation, and Israel was the light to the nation. So how am I going to put this light out? Notice in America, the things that are flourishing. It is the same thing, but exception of one.
Yeah.
In Noah's day, in Rome's day, in the Roman Empire, it started in some of the Persian and all the empire. But listen, the same iniquity and signs that Jesus said are now in America, who's the standard nation of Christians. America light out. Satan knows that. If he want to conquer the world, he knows that. He knows the laws of God. He knows the rule of God. He knows the judgment of God, what make God would bring. He knows what he can get people to do to bring judgment from God upon a nation.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to name the five major things as a sign that's happening in America that happened in Noah's day, except one, can you name, are they present in America now? The five major things. Who we have online? We have Sister Anderson and who?
Sister Stella.
Sister Stella? Hello, Sister Stella.
Okay.
Well, let's move on.
Okay.
What are the five major things that you think are that's not prevalent, that's got America on the road to destruction?
It's same-sex marriage. It's the breach and the removing the father from the home. And the government and education, social society. The devil is really influencing in those areas.
Okay, those are two things. What about the other three?
Abortion. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yep.
Okay, what she's thinking. Anybody else want to get in what she's thinking? Anyone else?
The more widespread of the use of witchcraft.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because they allowed the witch in Congress up there, what, 3 or 4 years ago to pray in the Congress in Iowa? Yeah, they allowed her to get up there and pray. So the more widespread and acceptance of the practice of witchcraft.
Okay. Okay, witchcraft and Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the other two things.
There's the fighting against the Word of God to replace the Word of God. Like what I mean, for example, it's like when they was, certain judges had the Ten Commandments in their courts and they was being told to take them down, how they are trying to exclude Christ out of everything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Replacing the standard of the one true God with other gods.
Right.
See, because when you remove something that's true and standard, it must be replaced with something else. It's going to be replaced. That's automatic, especially when it's a spiritual, especially, or a government or a spiritual, a social rule or a just rule, it's going to be replaced with injustice or unrighteousness. If it replaces the true, you're going to have to replace it with the false or the deception. So, since you remove the Christ from the government and education and not the recognizing the true God anymore, as the standard God, Jesus Christ, then it must be replaced with something else. And it is being replaced with something else.
Yep, being replaced with communism. Mm-hmm. And not
all
drugs.
Right. So who said there is something else that's devastating in the one of?
The Jezebel spirit.
The Jezebel spirit is is conducive to with Satan and witchcraft. They're connected. The false religion. False religion. Okay. But the false religion is now taking over America. Being accepted. All right. Can anyone think of another thing that's prevalent as the evidence among the nations and their downfall, even Israel? All right. Now, there's a couple more things that's prominent. In the day of Noah, it is said that the fallen angels, a part of the fallen one that was kicked out, because they took upon themselves this abominable rule between man, angels, and men. They were not to cohabit or mix. But a group of angels spoken of in Jude and different and Genesis says these fallen ones saw the women that they were beautiful beyond compare, and the angels took upon them to come among and cohabit with women and produce giants.
Amen. Now, I read that. Mm-hmm. I read that.
Pardon me?
Amen.
So
yes, sir. I read that. Yes, sir.
So what did that reproduce? Because God could not permit that.
Amen.
It was a hybrid race. When they cohabited with the women and took upon them, they said they must have took upon them flesh or some transformation that they could produce seed, because angels normally can't produce seed. They were not. They were not created to produce seed. Therefore, they have no sexual adornment, because they were not. They were created spirits. So they must have come down and transform or conform to produce seed to cohabit with women, which they were forbidden. And to produce a hybrid race. Sort of like half demon and half flesh, or men of renown. When they are prohibited, unusual giants and people are not. And as they reproduced, the next generation became more beautiful. But the next generation became more ugly and smaller, and they were called demons. Now,
amen.
The earth is. The only thing that hasn't happened in this one sin is that the angels are now having, you know, reproducing something in this latter generation. But something else has happened. But anyway, these are the things that are occurring in the world as a sign of the end of the age. Now, you notice. Well, I can't bring this out because this would be a little bit too much. So I better not bring this part out because too much is too much. So anyway, I'll give y'all the next few minutes. So I took all your few minutes. Let me see. Yeah, I got to give y'all a few minutes left, sister. So forgive me. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, I think also for the beginning of broadcast. When the brother was reading from the message, the Lord had given to me today, and it was the 85th message, and, you know, what the Lord is going to, and in that message, besides the introduction of the message, you know, the Lord, the truth, and as a resurrected being, he says, I am the Elias, which was far to come. And I was thinking about that. This had came to me like months ago. The 85th message came to me in a as of today. But I think about a lot of people, they accept the Bible, but they don't want to accept this last morning spiritual message or this, you know, they don't want to accept the word of the Lord that comes from the Lord and is brought to mankind by an angel. Don't want to receive it. And I was thinking that it starts off in Deuteronomy, in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, and it tells you about, you know, how the Lord is going to send this one that's like unto Moses. And it goes on into Isaiah, different scriptures. But also, it really, really caught my attention that in the Bible, when it came down to talking about the coming of John the Baptist, the messenger, of the Elijah, in Malachi, why is it that he told about, he sent this messenger, and he's speaking about John coming and all of these messages, but why is it that what was foretold in Malachi, why was this put in the last book of the Old Testament in Malachi when he spoke about John, the messenger, when he talked about, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord shall come suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But it goes on in Malachi, and it talks about how he's sending his angel, and how this angel says that he's going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the father. Let him smite the earth with a curse. Okay, he told throughout the, it goes on through the New Testament and the angel coming and prophesying about this messenger that is coming. But when he put this part about, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet for the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Why is it in the last book of the Old Testament? And that really, you know, got me to thinking, because he spoke of it throughout the scriptures, starting in Deuteronomy. But what he actually, I don't know if you all understand what I'm trying to say, but why the word that was spoken in Malachi, why would they put in Malachi instead of in some of the early in the New Testament?
Okay. Sisters? Well, thank you for that, sister. That's good. Doing your research and handiwork, that's great. That way you'll be able to teach, if you were into the nations, you'll be ready and equipped to stand your ground and declare, like, you know, Aquila, Priscilla, or a Phoebe do. Anyone want to add to that? Now, nobody want to talk, so I just have to talk. That's wonderful, sister. So next time you can follow up and go all the way through it. Now, I often wonder myself, what we call, refer to as the Bridge Version Bible, and they put Malachi as the last bridge between the Old and the New Testament, Malachi. And that kind of got my mind, and what was given to me when I was 12 years old, laying in my bed reading the Bible. I happened to be laying in Mississippi, Vicksburg. I think I was in the sixth grade. We had to go to Sunday school. That's one thing in the South. There's no argument. Our greatest problem now with our youth in the modern society, especially now, that spiritual education, that we had to go to Sunday school and church.
Amen.
That was every child, practically 98% of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was a forte ongoing among family members.
Amen.
That's what one of that thing is missing in our society today. Now, as I'm laying in the bed, and I loved Sunday school when I was young, and the Baptists would go to Sunday school, and they would always kind of call on me because I could read pretty good, and they wanted me to read all the time. And as I was reading the Bible, when I was opening the Bible that night and laying in my bed, and I happened to turn to Malachi. Never, won't forget this. God prepares a way and opportunities to bring you from one place to another place. At 12 years of age, as I opened Malachi, a light fell upon Malachi. I'm laying in the bed, and I said, I said, this haven't happened. I said to myself, that haven't happened. I know people said John the Baptist came the first coming and all that, but and John the Baptist is the first coming, they think that was fulfilled. But as I look, a light shined upon me. You know, it was not an ordinary, what we call light, human light, but the light just fell upon that scripture as I opened to it, like a light shining directly on that. And I kind of comprehended when that light shined, it seemed I understood that this has not happened, and this light just shined upon that page of that book. Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow.
Our time is almost up. And so I said that, my heart sort of got cursed. I said, I said, my heart kind of got in on, this has to happen before Jesus come back.
Yeah.
This enlightened, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I wouldn't know nothing about that, you know.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, about Malachi and Elijah coming at the age of 12. You know, I know we went to Sunday school, but we didn't have that kind of enlightenment teaching on that particular thing or anything. But all of a sudden, as I turned to this Bible and fell on Malachi. So anyway,
yeah.
And my heart was enlightened. My mind just quickened me as something shined upon this, and my heart was called to be made glad instantly.
Yes, Lord.
And I heard this has not yet been fulfilled.
Amen.
Even though many great theologians and teachers today say, that happened in John, it has been done. No. And then the Lord did something else. Because everything the Lord does, he confirms it. We always keep that in mind. Everything the Lord does must be confirmed. Must be confirmed. This law would never turn. God would do things two or three. So don't rely upon one confirmation of things. Don't do that. You can if you want to, but I wouldn't advise it because God's ways is perfect. Now, he confirmed that to me a little later. When I must have been 13 years old in another way. Show you how he confirmed this same thing I'm laying in bed. So I'll may mention that next time how he confirmed it to me again when I was about 13 years old. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Now.
Amen.
All my people were Baptists and good, wonderful, loving people. But somehow I couldn't join the Baptist church, and I couldn't figure it out. They would try to put me up there at 12 years old, but I couldn't, you know, get what they call get religion or get on the morning's bank. And I couldn't know why I couldn't. All my family, they could accept that. And there were people that on the morning's bank, some of them really had a real experience of being born again, even though they lacked understanding by many other things.
Amen.
But
Amen.
They were good people and wonderful people. And hardworking, diligent people, my people, my grandmother. But I didn't know, I couldn't join the church. I was the only one that couldn't join the church. I was just wondering, I said, I got to find the real church. I don't know why it was on my mind. I got to find what I read in the Bible.
Yes, amen.
But anyway, that's just a testimony. But as we close, the people have been told and preached to, and I understand, that there is only one book, the Bible. And I understand that. That when you've been preaching that the Bible is the only book where God has spoken or revealed the true God, the living God. And when you've been told it over said there's only one, this little book that we call the abridged version, they say everything that God has said is in that book.
Huh.
And that God has not spoken anything outside of that little abridged version that they translated.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing else to come but the Bible. So the people don't get it today. God does not speak outside of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the book that we call the Canaanized little small book, they abridged it. It is a translation and an abridgment. And everything is good in that. It's God's word.
Yeah.
But they have told the people and said to people for centuries, there is nothing else. Now, so as we close, we invite you to take your Bible serious. God's words has spoken to that, our first great witness. God is not through speaking. I know they told you that God is not going to speak anymore. That's another thing. So I'm afraid you need to search the scriptures diligently and pray. And search all the scriptures diligently and then pray and seek. All right, then. The Lord loves Jesus, loves you. He's coming soon. Elijah has come. If you're in wherever you are, call upon Jesus. He's standing near to answer you in your life. Love you all.
Yeah.
Have a blessed new year.
God bless.
Amen.
God bless you all. In Jesus' name, we love you. God bless you. God bless.
God bless. God bless. God bless.